Well, we've done sacraments. We had baptism last week, and today we're going to talk about marriage. Marriage is a sacrament of the church, and the Book of Common Prayer, and if you want to look it up, it's on page 423, but you don't have to. The Book of Common Prayer teaches that marriage is for mutual joy, help, and comfort, and that God must really like it. These are not prayer book words, but God must really like it when two people bind themselves together, because the prayer book says that Jesus adorned this manner of life by his presence and first miracle at the wedding at Cana. The prayer book goes on to note that marriage symbolizes the union of Christ and his church, an ancient idea with origins in that reading we had today from Isaiah. It also appears in Jeremiah and other places, which says that God rejoices over Israel as a bridegroom over a bride. All four Gospels refer to Jesus as a bridegroom. Now, I've officiated at my share of weddings. As I'm working with a couple in premarital counseling, which takes a couple of months, one of my first concerns is to shift their focus from preparing for the wedding to preparing for the marriage. A wedding is one day. Whether it's simple or extravagant, it's over pretty quickly. Marriage, though, marriage is the commitment to change our focus from me to we. That shift from me to we takes maturity and grace and commitment, dedication. I'm sure you all know someone who went through a wedding ceremony, but who never made the shift from me to we. Some of you may have been married to that person. Everyone in that, everything was still about the person getting what they wanted. I want to show a short clip from a movie. It's a sweet movie. It's a rom-com. It's a chick flick. Okay. Called Shall We Dance? This is the American version. In it, Mrs. Clark suspects that her husband is having an affair. She hires a private investigator, Mr. Devine, to tail her husband. It turns out that Mr. Clark is not having an affair. He truly loves his wife, but he's bored with his life as an estate and wills attorney. I can't imagine why. And on a whim one evening, he starts taking ballroom dancing lessons, which means a lot of late evenings. He never tells his wife what he's doing because he thinks that she'll disapprove, and in his fear of that disapproval, he focuses on the me instead of the we, and he says nothing. The PI, of course, finds out pretty quickly what Mr. Clark is doing, and he tells Mrs. Clark. As she's paying the investigator for his services, she asks him a question. Mrs. Clark is a darn good theologian. She has real insight into the biblical, sacramental view of marriage. In Isaiah, marriage is an invitation to see how we are made in the image of God and to act accordingly. In a marriage, we promise to be like God and delight in our chosen one. Like God, we make a covenant with another person to notice them, to make their lives important, to rejoice and celebrate who they are, to be vulnerable to each other, and to share ourselves. When marriages get in trouble, it's almost always because at least one of the people stops doing those things, going from we back to me. In case any of you were wondering, Mr. and Mrs. Clark do get back to being a we. They decide not to be afraid of who they truly are. They delight in each other, and they seal it by dancing together in the aisles of Saks Fifth Avenue department store. Now, absolutely everything I've said about marriage, except maybe dancing in a department store, everything I've said about marriage between people can also be said about people and their relationship not only to God, but the church, the body of Christ. And remember that I said in the beginning, the prayer book, it says that marriage symbolizes the union of Christ and his church. So one of the primary purposes of church, of being church, being the body of Christ, is to witness, to rejoice, to celebrate the lives of other people, and to be vulnerable and to share our lives with them. Earlier this year, researchers at Brigham Young University claimed that an increasing number of middle-aged and older Americans are chronically isolated and are at significantly increased risk of premature death. They called this loneliness epidemic a major public health threat. And I can't think of a better antidote for this epidemic than the body of Christ. How? Well, you all pretty much sit in the same pew every week. And I've been known to be asked, where's so-and-so? I haven't seen him in a while. And I said, well, don't you know? She says, no, I don't even know their name. I said, you sit in the same pew every week. Why don't you know their name? Why don't you know each other's names? Why don't you call? I can keep track of people, sure. But if 250 people are keeping track of each other, it's a lot better than what I can do by myself. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Find out each other's names. Notice when you're missing. That's what Christian love in a church is for. Purpose of church is not to control people, imposing a bunch of rules that, if followed, will make God accept us. Although that has been a strong temptation of the church over the millennia. We see evidence of that in the first letter of Timothy, which is bordering on 2,000 years old. The letter denounces pinched puritanical strictness. You've heard H.L. Mencken's definition of Puritanism. Puritanism, the haunting fear that someone, somewhere, may be happy. There's nothing puritanical about this passage from Timothy. It echoes the joyful proclamation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 34, that everything God created was good. Not just good, but supremely good. This includes marriage and all foods and everything God creates. And we're to receive it all with an attitude of gratitude. Our God is a God of such incredible abundance that we can't possibly exhaust the supply of goodness showered on us. The first sign of this is Jesus' action at the wedding in Cana, where he provides the equivalent of 50 to 75 cases of wine. Excellent wine, most excellent wine, for a party that had already been going on for quite a while. And the sign almost didn't happen. Jesus' mom had to ask him to notice what was going on and the problem the groom was having. And at first he distances himself from the groom's problem and states it wasn't time for him to start his public ministry. And then his mother said words that I think she'd heard before. I want you to imagine Mary as Gabriel stood before her with his startling request that she bear a child. Can you picture that? And she sat and she pondered for a minute. And I think the Holy Spirit whispered in her heart, do whatever he tells you to do. And she, the handmaid of the Lord, did. So she gave the same message from the Holy Spirit to the head waiter. Do whatever he tells you to do. And the Spirit in the day, Jesus went from me to we. And the reign of God breaks into a broken, troubled situation with a gift of fabulous abundance. The head waiter rejoices. The disciples place their faith in Jesus and the beginning of a new age of joyful, mutual blessing begins. The point of the letter to Timothy is that it is the way of the demons, not the saints, the way of the world, not of God, to control each other. To set up rules that create scarcity and anxiety, to call it a sin to be in a relationship of mutual support, joy, and love. It's the way of demons when we focus on me instead of we. The only rules of a we church are that we give to each other the mercy, grace, compassion, justice, and love that our God gives to us. churches to be a place in marked contrast with our stingy culture of me. The way of God is to open the storehouses, shower the abundance, the liberation, and all that is good on everyone. No one at that wedding at Cana was told they were unworthy of drinking God's wedding wine. Just as no one at the feeding of the 5,000, which takes place in four chapters, was excluded from receiving God's living bread. In Isaiah and in Jesus, we see that the church is like being married, bound together. We go from me to we, making things good, whole, holy, for the community. The community gathered here, but also for all of God's supremely good creation. We do it with food, we do it with kindness, and we do it even just by walking a walk of peace and getting to know a stranger who'll become a neighbor and maybe even a friend. A we church is a place where, in the name of God, we witness each other's lives. The good things, the bad things, the terrible things, the mundane things, all of it, all the time, every day. We promise in the name of God that your life, that all lives, no life will go unnoticed because we will notice it. No life will go unwitnessed because we will witness it. A we church celebrates that tie that binds our lives together. Let's be that church.